Is our time of peace and prosperity just a calm before the storm? We'll talk about that next.
God is actually giving us right now a time of peace, a time when it's calm, and it's really the calm before the storm.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan meets this hour with Bible teacher Amir Sarfati to discuss the peace before the storm. Amir travels the world teaching on the topics of Israel and the Middle East. He will be with Jan on September 29th to speak at our fall conference. Today, Jan caught up with Amir at his home in Israel. So let's begin our conversation with Jan Markell and Amir Sarfati.
Welcome to the program. I am so glad you could join me today. And my guest for the hour says that we are in the last hour before, well, the storm, and that this is actually a calm before a storm. What is the coming turmoil? Who are the players? And why is this the best ever opportunity for you to occupy and to be a watchman? Amir Sarfati is founder of Behold Israel. He's a Bible teacher internationally, Israeli tour guide, member of the Israeli Defense Forces, and a good friend and fellow ministry leader. He has spoken at my last three fall conferences. You need to be getting his updates via YouTube, his other products. We'll say more about that as we move into the program. He usually does 2 to 3 updates a week via YouTube and gives an analysis of current events from a biblical perspective that many people would not miss. BeholdIsrael.org. We'll say more about a lot of things as we move into the programming. Amir, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Thank you, Jan.
You recently said, I'm playing off a few comments that you have stated recently, because not everybody catches all of your updates, and I want to emphasize a few things you say. Number one, there's a new mood in Israel, and this is partly due to the embassy being placed in Jerusalem, and you're even hearing people, Israelis, use the term, perhaps, these are messianic days. Help us understand why this euphoria.
I think that the month of May was not only about the embassy move, which was on May 14th. The month of May started with several confrontations in Syria in which Israel had to deal with regarding the Iranian entrenchment, and moved on to the seizure of the archive of the Iranians that managed to lead us to persuade President Trump to withdraw from the Iran deal, which was indeed something that happened also in the beginning of the month. So, and that was a huge thing, you know. Moving the embassy is a nice symbolic thing, but withdrawing from the deal was something way more currently needed for us, because that set the tone for our security measures, for our, you know, the way we handle things in the future. One thing after the other. Then came the embassy, and then came the American standing by Israel in the UN when everybody else tried to condemn us for the killing of the people in Gaza. Then came the American pressure in Syria on Russia and on Iran. I mean, there's so many things that happened in the month of May that caused the Israelis to be shocked and speechless, dumbfounded. Bear in mind, it's after 8 years of having the worst administration ever. We're like wounded animals.
But you and I aren't trying to glorify President Donald Trump, but you say that some Israelis are even calling him Messiah-like. I mean, that's stunning.
I believe that what happens, and I'm a member of several online groups, and it's for mostly for intelligence purposes. We talk. I have never, ever seen that many people using the terms messianic era, messianic times, godly intervention, God-sent person, and then they even use, he's like our Messiah. Mm. I mean, and using the terms in a positive way, B, in relations to some foreign leader of a major power, political power, that is finally understanding Israel, our needs, who we are, respects our heritage, and acknowledges our past and our belonging to the land and mostly to Jerusalem. This is unheard of.
You also said, Amir, that some of this is leading, and I want to talk about this for just a second here, to some temple talk. Some of this is morphing into temple talk. And you and I both saw a picture with Ambassador to Israel David Friedman, and he was being shown a photo of the Temple Mount. And superimposed over the Dome of the Rock was the Jewish temple, the way it will look probably in the tribulation. That was a very prophetic picture. I'm sure Ambassador Friedman didn't fully understand that.
I believe that there's a lot of people in Israel that, regardless of Donald Trump, are excited about a possible building of a third temple no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Add to that the world leader that is acknowledging Jerusalem and moving his embassy. And you get a super excited group of people. Now, to tell you that the majority of the Israelis are into the third temple at this point, no. Because we have other things to deal with right now. But that same group of people that is so excited about the temple and was excited even before and now even more so is definitely getting a much bigger exposure right now on media because of that, you know, particular thing. Now, it's interesting because on the very same day that the ambassador was shown with that picture that somebody is holding in front of him, there was a release of a picture of Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, in a hospital reading a newspaper.
Anti-Semitic.
And in the back of the newspaper, did you see the caricature there?
I sure did. Yes.
Okay, so
you see that
on one hand he was blaming the ambassador for being racist and for being, and then on the other hand, look at what he was dealing with. Exactly.
And you know, this again, this temple talk, I mean, again, it's a setup for what you and I believe is going to be a European leader to step up to the front of the platform. And you've actually addressed that twice at my fall conference in 2016 and 2017. Europe ready for the Antichrist.
Correct.
But the more we hear about the temple, and then you and I are watching some European leaders, and I don't necessarily want to get into all of them. There are some that are young, very charismatic, leading the pack, of course, is Emmanuel Macron. And my goodness, some of the things that are coming out about Macron are simply stunning. He wants to rule like Jupiter. He will rule like a Roman god. A story has come out that he wants to form a 10-nation confederacy,
correct,
a coalition of the willing. I mean, we could go on and on. The Economist magazine showed him walking on water, asking if he was Europe's savior. Now, you and I know that he's sinking in popularity in France, but the point is, he's rather young, he's charismatic, he's quite popular globally, certainly popular with Donald Trump, as you and I have noted publicly, but there are other European leaders, even younger than he is, you pointed out, one is in his 20s.
Correct. One of them is in his late 20s. That's the new prime minister of Austria.
As we were talking privately, you know, even if one of these fellows were to be it, Mr. Antichrist, at this point, they don't even know that. I mean, the church has to go.
Exactly.
The church has to go.
And it's important that we remember that. Instead of taking sides and getting excited about, wow, look, there's a temple coming, we need to understand that to be a watchman, and I believe that's our calling, is to warn the people. It's not to celebrate with the people, because let's face it, the third temple is going to be the most horrific and catastrophic thing that will happen to Israel. So sometimes I feel that Christians forget their part in this whole script, and they start celebrating in the wrong things. I'll never forget when I first started guiding tours, some of my closest friends asked me if I can take them to the Temple Institute, and then I found out that the churches are donated a lot of money to the Temple Institute and to the effort of the Jews to build the third temple.
Yes, that's right.
And I sat with them and I said, guys, I understand your heart, you're excited, but is that really what we need to do? To pay for the temple that the Antichrist eventually is going to go in and declare himself as God. We don't want that. So we know it's going to happen. We know he's going to rise. We know there's going to be a temple. But our job in this whole picture is not to be part of it and to be excited about it in form and shape of hyping it and pushing for it. Our job is to look at the big picture and to intercede and warn and share the good news. And the good news is not the temple. The good news is that we need to be out of here before that.
Amen.
The good news is that the temple is not going to bring salvation to Israel, but Jesus. So that's the thing that I'm frustrated when I watch all of the, you know, the feed on Facebook and emails people are sending and YouTube videos of how many people are now into where the temple was and blah, 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 and all of that. And I'm saying to myself, gosh, we're so much into the wrong things. I don't need someone to tell me where the temple was. I just need people to understand, don't push for another one. It's going to come, but let's remember what Jesus said about it. I hope you understand my point.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I am Jan Markell. I have on the line all the way from Israel, Amir Sarfati. Here's how you get more information about Amir. Go to beholdisrael.org, beholdisrael.org. I encourage you to sign up for any kind of update you can get from YouTube, his e-alerts, whatever, at beholdisrael.org. And he'll give online updates at least twice a week. And if there's real breaking news, might perhaps even more often than that. He will be one of my speakers this fall, Understanding the Times 2018, Saturday, September the 29th, just outside Minneapolis. There are a few hundred seats left. We will be live streaming. Other speakers include J.D. Farag, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Eric Barger, Pastor Billy Crone. We're going to have a full lineup, a full day. If you can't make it, please think about just watching online. Amir, I want to move quickly here because time gets away from us, and you have made a statement. Quite frankly, I think it's been confusing to those who are not Israelis. You have said that you feel that your homeland, Israel, has never been in such a peaceful mode as it is today. Okay, we've got a media that's focusing on, you know, burning tires, hundreds of people getting killed. This is primarily on the Gaza border. We're told that there are 100,000 rockets aimed by Hezbollah at Israel. You are surrounded by Russians, Syrians, Iranians, Hamas, Palestinian Authority, various other terror groups, Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, you name it. You have tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, people surrounding you, I mean Israel, and yet you say you have never felt more peaceful. And I think you're saying that because you're comparing it to the various wars that Israel has gone through, the one I remember most prominently, Yom Kippur, 1973.
Exactly. I think that the term peace, to dwell in peace and safety or security, it's a relative thing. We will never, ever, 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 ever have the ultimate peace that surpasses all understanding in this place, unless we accept Christ, of course. But the thing is very simple. Israel never had a day in its history since God made that nation that there were no nations around it that plotted against it. Never. And yet, it moved forward. And it moved forward in ways of being strangers in foreign lands and being persecuted and then making it into the land that he finally brought them, but then being outnumbered and not being feared by their enemies all around. And then came King David and King Solomon, and people around us respected us and feared us, but then, of course, everything went south. And we know that Israel since never really had independence where we were strong and we were not only feared by our enemy, but also, even more so, we were respected and desired by most nations around the world. Now, this is the situation today. I'm telling people that the Prime Minister's office in Jerusalem is the second most visited office in world leaders, second to the White House. People from all over the world are coming to visit, and they want to visit because they want to partner with Israel. They want to benefit from Israel's knowledge and information and Israel's wealth of, you know, resources. And they also feel that it's safe to do that. I mean, when you have big companies partnering and buying out companies here or merging with companies, this is not because it's a war zone. My point is very clear. If you are looking for a day where there will be no enemy around our borders, then I suppose you need to wait until the new heavens and new earth.
That's right.
Because it's not going to happen now. As long as Israel is God's chosen people, there will be a plot against them.
You have stated that perhaps it's this kind of peace and safety, and that's what you're really talking about. You're dwelling in relative peace and safety that could prompt an invasion, spoken of Ezekiel 38:39, Gog Magog from the uttermost part of the north to invade the prophesied war of Ezekiel 38:39. Therefore, this season of calm that you're talking about could be very short-lived.
It could be very short because, hey, we're watching as watchmen, and we're seeing the clouds. We're seeing the dark clouds of Ezekiel. Ezekiel speaks of a cloud.
That's right, covering the land.
He speaks of a dark cloud. He speaks that it's going to come as a storm. The weather center, we already know that the storm is on its way. Mm-hmm. We know it. But we're right now enjoying a short time of calm before the storm. Now, let me make it very clear. Neither Hamas nor Hezbollah are putting or posing existential threat on Israel. Mm-hmm. If Israel wanted, Israel could have destroyed the Gaza Strip within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
There's 2 million people there, and we don't want to hurt them. And in fact, the only reason why Israel is leaving Hamas still in power is because we prefer them to rule their own people. If we destroy now the leadership of Hamas and we remove them from power, who's going to rule there? Who's going to rule over 2 million people? So when we look at that, we have to take things in the right perspective. Same with Hezbollah. Who's going to rule in Lebanon if we go and destroy it? Now, that's why Israel is not touching those two to the point that we will only eliminate threats as they come. That's it. However, when an invasion led by a world superpower such as Russia, together with large armies such as the Persian and the Turkish, adding to that the fuel of the jihadists of Libya and Sudan, this is something that is a game changer. This is something that, and God is going to allow that in order to be magnified glorified. Yeah.
That's the primary reason
exactly
for that impending war. It is.
And it's sad to me that people are not seeing that. They're saying, oh, Ezekiel is not coming because there has to be peace and safety. So therefore, it's not the next thing. And I'm saying, guys, it is the next thing, because all we see every day is that alliance not only being formed, but getting its swords already sharpened and getting ready.
And Israel has plenty of spoil that they want to come into.
And Israel has plenty of spoil, exactly.
Here's where I want to...
Israel, make no mistake, Israel doesn't trust Russia to be its close ally.
Thankfully,
What we do now, we play the game, just like they do. We understand that they're there. We need to take care of business, so we go and communicate with them directly. So when we need to do something in Syria, it will be fully coordinated with them. So out of our own interest, we prefer at the moment to be in direct connection and communication with the Russians. And by the way, the Russians, make no mistake, even the Prime Minister of Israel made it very, very clear. The Prime Minister of Israel said that he sees how the Iranians are on the way of the Russians from taking the spoils of Syria.
Here's where I want to go in my next segment. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Iranian deal that was kind of Donald Trump pulled the plug on. Actually, I want to open my next segment with a clip of you talking about kind of how they did it. Of course, you can't give all the details. And I think what happened when the Israelis went in and got all the info from the Iranian warehouse, I hope it's a movie someday, because it had to be incredible. I want to talk to you about that for a couple of minutes. I also want to talk about the terrible attack on Bible prophecy that most of my listeners identify with and are very grieved about. And I'm coming back, folks, in just a couple of minutes, and I'm continuing with Amir Sarfati, Behold Israel, beholdisrael.org. We'll say more about some other topics when I get back. Don't go away.
We know you're enjoying the insights Amir Sarfati is sharing on today's Understanding the Times. Remember, he'll be speaking at the next Understanding the Times conference this coming September 29th at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Come meet Amir along with the other conference speakers. Just a reminder, this is a ticketed event. You must obtain a ticket in advance to attend. For more information about our September conference, please visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. To order a compact disc recording of today's broadcast, phone 763-559-4444. This program comes to you every week through the generous support of our listeners. please consider a tax-deductible donation to help us keep reaching America with our message. Your gifts are welcome when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Jan returns with more from Amir Sarfati right after this.
Understanding the Times 2018 is not that far away. Saturday, September 29th, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Please note the earlier starting time. There are still tickets available for $10, $15, and $20. Visit our website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to conferences or contact brushfire.com. I'll give you an 800 number as soon as you get a pencil and paper. Don't miss the like-minded fellowship as well, as our cutting-edge speakers include Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor J.D. Farag, Pastor Billy Crone, Eric Barger, and Amir Sarfati. Headlines today are a harbinger of his return. We'll unpack that Saturday, September 29th. Learn to be a watchman on the wall. We live in challenging times, but things aren't falling apart. They're falling into place. Learn how at Understanding the Times 2018. For tickets, order online or call Brushfire at 888-338-5338. That's 888-338-5338. The conference will be live streamed on our website, olivetreeviews.org, at no cost.
Where the Iranians are today, it's literally hours, maybe days, from enriching uranium. No paper that can be signed by radical Muslims that can ever stay respected and honored by them. You have to understand that the entire art of deception is embedded deeply in their culture.
Jan Markell is meeting today with the founder of Behold Israel, a ministry organization with an international focus on the teaching ministry of Amir Sarfati. For nearly two decades, Amir has been traveling around the globe, preaching the gospel, and informing people about the importance of Israel. Let's return now to Jan and Amir's conversation.
To make sure, this time of calm right now, to make sure that Jerusalem's status is set and ready for what's next, which is the temple. I want to share with you something, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way. But over the last couple weeks, I told you, Israel is in euphoria. We've never had it before. I mean, not only that there was the withdrawal from the Iran deal, not only that we managed to bring the content of 12 vaults from the heart of Tehran, we managed the entire, the most, the holy of holies of the Iranian nuclear weapons program that they denied forever. We managed to go into their warehouse, open those safes, empty them, put them on two trucks. The two trucks traveled to two different directions. They crossed the border to Azerbaijan. From there, they were flown to another country. From there, they were shipped to another one. From there, they made it to Tel Aviv. And we recruited over the next 10 days every possible Farsi-speaking Israeli intelligence officer in order to start translating everything before a decision will be made regarding Iran. And we did. And it took us exactly 30 days to translate it all. And then when Benjamin Netanyahu traveled to Washington to meet with President Trump, he already gave him a copy of everything and asked him to send his agents to come and authenticate for themselves the papers that they are indeed real.
Talk about the hand of God. Okay, welcome back. We're continuing for the hour with Amir Sarfati. And that's who you just heard explain, sort of anyway, what happened when Israel, and God could only do this with Israel, went into Iran and into the warehouse and, as Amir said, carried out one of the most incredible intelligence efforts, I think, ever. Amir Sarfati, do you think that the real details of what happened will ever come out? I mean, it should be a movie. The details should be shared, if it's possible to be shared. Can you give any extra insight on what happened?
Well, you know, the top of the Israeli Mossad said to one of our reporters that only our grand-grandchildren might know the full extent of the story. What I'm trying to say is that Israel will not release more information for quite a long time. But again, what we know is that which was denied by the Iranians for the longest time, that they did have a nuclear program for military use to create nuclear weapons. They always denied it. They said from day one, we never had it. All we want is nuclear energy. All we want is we need it for civilian purposes. And the entire nuclear deal was around the understanding that they don't have any nuclear program for weapons. And we came to the heart of their Holy of Holies in the heart of Tehran, and we literally took that which they hide, or they were trying to hide from the rest of the world, and we brought it to our own center of military intelligence. And we not only analyzed everything they did in a few years ago, but we know exactly how they camouflaged this trail of evidences even today. And we were able to bring experts from all over Europe and some other countries around the world to understand that where the Iranians are today, it's literally hours, maybe days, from enriching uranium. They're not that far. They kept that option alive, and it's still there, and they've been fooling the whole world. And, you know, it saddens me that people don't understand that there is no paper that can be signed by radical Muslims that can ever stay respected and honored by them. You have to understand that the entire art of deception is embedded deeply in their culture. It started from the way Muhammad deceived the tribe of Quraysh, where he had an agreement that he won't attack them if they don't attack him. And then, of course, he broke that agreement and immediately killed them all. I mean, that is the way they work. And I remember when Yasser Arafat first came into Gaza, and that was, bear in mind, that was in 1994 when the world was in euphoria, thinking that's it, there's going to be peace in the Middle East. He said to the whole world, I acknowledge Israel, I acknowledge its right to exist. And then he said to his own people, this is nothing but the Quraysh treaty, don't worry. And no one bothered to understand what he's talking about. He did what the Iranians did now. It's okay to deceive the world. As long as they don't know exactly what we do, we don't have to disclose anything. And, yeah, Israel sent 100 people on the ground in Iran. 300 others were working within Israel and in Europe and in some neighboring countries and facilitating the route of escape of our agents, as well as the content of 12 volts. You're talking about more than 100,000 documents that we brought not only on in paper, but, you know, we couldn't carry everything. The only reason we didn't bring everything, it's because it was too heavy to carry.
Is Donald Trump going to go down in history? I think he will, as probably on a par with perhaps even higher than Harry Truman, even Richard Nixon, who really stepped in, and God prevailed upon Richard Nixon in 1973 to step in and intervene in that Yom Kippur War of October 73. Harry Truman stepping up to the plate, Israel's independence, 1948. And now comes Donald Trump, who had the courage to pull out of this, as many have said, the worst foreign policy deal in the history of foreign policies. I think he's going to go down as an incredible, probably Israel's most incredible friend ever.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And remember, Donald Trump, I believe, is deeply convinced in the concept of Israel's right to exist and Israel's right over Jerusalem and Israel's right to defend itself against its aggressors. And I want to tell you something. It was right there in your conference 2 years ago that I had the opportunity of speaking with several people who knows Trump and the Trump campaign at the time. Mm-hmm. It was when he was still running. It was a couple months before the election.
Right.
When I heard that Trump literally was ashamed of all the stuff that was brought before, that he was confronted with regarding his past.
Yes, yes.
And he showed remorse and he showed repentance. And, they went on to say that he literally prayed to accept Christ. Now, at this age, is he now, you know, a spirit-filled, born-again, super, you know, duper pastor now that is evangelizing the word? No. But in his own way, All he does from day one of his presidency is pressing on the biblical values of family, the biblical values for the unborn. I was just there.
You were just
when
there.
He honored.
You were there in Washington, I believe. Or,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, he was the first ever president to attend a pro-life gala dinner like we just had. So you're talking about it's beyond Israel. And just so you know, he had me as his supporter, not when he was, supporting Israel, because so many presidents said one thing and did another thing. In my eyes, the stand of President Trump for the unborn was, to me, the answer for the real change that he went through.
Mm-hmm.
And then it made it very easy to understand why he is holding on to those opinions regarding Israel the way he does. It starts with a basic thing the value of life and the sanctity of life and the acknowledgement that God created us.
God created life. I'm just going to transition here a little bit in the interest of time. And folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here talking with Amir Sarfati in Israel. And I am pleased and privileged to talk to him in Israel just because he's kind of jet-setting a lot of places, speaking, bringing the latest timely word that God gives him to you name the country, and he's either been there or will be there. Find out more at beholdisrael.org. Come out and meet him, as well as J.D. Farag and Pastor Jack Hibbs, Billy Crone, Eric Barger, myself, many others, Saturday, September 29th. Let me just interject that in that tickets are almost gone, a few hundred left, you might want to think about getting a group together and live streaming and put it up on a big screen. It's no cost. You just have to access our website, olivetreeviews.org. olivetreeviews.org. It'll be archived. You can watch it several days, weeks, probably even months afterwards. And just a quick note, we have a whole section for hearing impaired, but you have to call the Brush Fire Ticketing Agency for those seats, as well as handicapped. So please listen up. Hearing impaired, handicapped, you need to call 888-338-5338, 888-338-5338. And if you want any of those few hundred seats left, you call that same number, or just go to my website, olivetreeviews.org, and then go to our conference page, and you'll see all that information. You can get tickets electronically. You don't have to call. And by the way, folks, if in fact all seats are gone, plan on live streaming it, won't you? Because it'll be a great experience for you. I want to transition here just a moment, and I said to you earlier that what we're experiencing, me personally, I've been in eschatology-related ministry now a lot of years, and when I started, there was a huge open door. It was incredible, and every denomination was interested at that time, and now there's a serious attack on the message that you and I are trying to bring to the world. I want to play a quick soundbite here, and by way of illustration, and this is a voice many people are going to recognize, many Americans are going to recognize. It's the voice of Frank Schaeffer. This is the son of Francis and Edith Schaeffer. And he, at one time, I think he's probably left the evangelical stream. I'm going to let him speak for himself. This is less than 2 minutes. And I think he's going to illustrate just why people like Amir Sarfati and myself sometimes have a difficult time with the churches, not with the people. There's a remnant who loves this message, but the churches seem to be closed.
You have to understand that the evangelical Christian movement in America latched onto a 19th century concept that was hatched by someone called John Nelson Darby, who said that Jesus could not come back until Israel had been restored as a nation peopled by Jews and Jerusalem was the capital. This is not traditional Christian teaching going back into the ages, even of the Protestant church. You know, this was not a concern of Martin Luther or any Roman Catholic or the Greek Orthodox or anyone else. If you want to update to the present, you know, when I was a kid with my parents in their ministry of Libri, we had a number of Christian leaders come by, and one of them had written, Hal Lindsey had written a book called The Late Great Planet Earth, in which he predicted the end times coming in 1980s. He said, it's now possible because Israel has been restored. And then others came back and said, no, Jesus can't come back yet because Jerusalem's not restored. Fast forward to the 16 books and 4 films that you had that came out of the Left Behind series, written by a friend of mine, Jerry Jenkins, and his sidekick co-author that wrote it with him. And you've got 60 million copies sold that essentially are total fiction. I'm going to give you an analogy. This is as if the Twilight Zone had been taken as gospel by some religious group, and they were going back through old episodes and basing an entire cultic kind of religion on it. Now, you could laugh at this, or you could dismiss it as craziness. The problem is these folks have direct access to the President of the United States, and he owes them. The white evangelical vote is literally the only people hanging in there with him. Their approval numbers for him are dropping, but not as fast as the rest of the country. So that this decision, I'm sad to say from my point of view, takes a 19th century cultic twisting of Christian tradition teaching. It updates it through these crazy books called the Left Behind series that people have read by the hundreds of millions, 60 million copies sold. You can figure 100 million people more have read them. This is what evangelicals have come to believe. They think it's part of their traditional religion. It is not.
Well, again, this was Frankie Schaefer on Joy Reid MSNBC program here very recently. By the way, the sidekick is none other than Dr. Tim LaHaye. And he compares the Left Behind, Amir Sarfati, to the Twilight Zone, 19th century cultic tradition, now as truth. But again, guys like this are making an impact.
Yeah, I just didn't hear one thing from him about our arguments when it comes to scriptures. I heard a lot of things, but I don't think that we're making any progress to the hearts of the people unless we stick to the Word of God and unless we are grounded in the Word. And I do believe with all of my heart that what lacks in the churches today is the teaching of the Word. Everybody mm-hmm. wants to attend to the needs of those with itching ears, and everybody wants to give message that is more accepted by those seekers and more seeker-friendly and less offensive. But people forget, there is no other way to understand God's heart than by looking at what God is doing through Israel and with Israel and for Israel. And that will give us the understanding of God's heart for everyone. And our entire doctrine of the imminent return of Christ and all of that is based on what the Bible talks about that is going to happen not only in the world, but mostly in the Middle East with Israel. We're excited to see Israel coming back to life, back to its land, restoring Jerusalem back to its hand. We're exciting to see. Look, you will be complete ignorant to overlook what is going on when it comes to alliances that are being created right now in the Middle East
right.
that have never been there before. You will be complete ignorant to see the world effort to bring about a new world order.
That's right.
All of those things are nothing of the fruit of our imagination. We are looking at scriptures.
But Amir, where this fellow's coming from, and I know where he's hung up, and this is where many, many churches and denominations are hung up. They are embracing replacement theology. The church is the new Israel. And as long as major denominations and more evangelical denominations embrace the fact that the fallacy that the church is the new Israel, not so, folks, then you have this kind of a result. That's my concern. And then you have the mocking of 2 Peter 3, the scoffers.
Yes. But the problem is that, again, they never read Romans 11.
Yeah, 9, 10, 11, you're right.
My point is that, again,
yes, I hear you.
What we have is people ignoring vast portions of the scriptures.
That's correct.
And they distort the other half. So, God promised through the prophets that he's going to deal with Israel in the end. And the way he's dealing with Israel right now tells us it is the end. We don't have to, we never come up with that just on our own. When we're looking at it, we're comparing what he said that is going to happen to what is happening. And we conclude that based on what he said that we should conclude it from. I mean, when we look at things, we look at the things that he himself said, these are the signs of the end of the age. We're not making it up. We're basing it on scriptures, unlike those who don't even teach that portion of the Word of God. They don't teach the words of the prophets of the Old Testament. They don't teach the prophetic part of Jesus' ministry. They don't do that. So they keep away that information from their people.
Yes.
And they can pump into their head so much stuff that is so not biblical, because people just, you and I know that more than half of Christians in America, maybe even in the world, they come to church that's the only time they'll read Bible. at church when he's being read to them.
You have a saying, and as a matter of fact, your saying is turning into a book title, in that you feel this is the last hour. This is not just the last days. This is not just the last few decades. This is the last hour. And I agree with you. And I think that's why God has opened doors for you and me and others that are telling the truth. Our good brother Jack Hibbs, J.D. Farag, and others that are getting this truth out, because it is the last hour. And I think if there's anything that we would like the audience to take away from the time we've had together is that it's the last hour. What I want to do when we come back, Amir Sarfati, is talk about, you made a very interesting statement that we need to build on it. You did a little bit in the first segment. I want to build on it in my closing segment. And that is, it's never been a better time to be a watchman on the wall. And I want us to close this program with some really encouraging words, because that is what we've all been called to do. Whether we've got an hour left, a week, a month, a year, 10 years, we've got to use it wisely. And we got to be salt and light and delay the decay and get the gospel out and occupy until he comes. We'll talk about those things in just a couple of minutes. I'm coming back. Don't go away.
To learn more about Amir Sarfati's ministry, visit beholdisrael.org. There you'll find details on how to watch Amir's live updates posted to Facebook every week. We are privileged to have radio guests like Amir join us each week with information and teaching you won't find in most churches today. God has given us a clear vision to look honestly at our culture and the church. Our mission is to bring you insights to help you discern these last days. Please consider adding us to your charitable giving. We welcome your tax-deductible gifts mailed to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Be sure to visit us online at olivetreeviews.org, where you can stay in touch with our annual conferences, hear past programs, and get newsletter updates. To obtain your own recording of today's broadcast, call our order line 763-559-4444. Please stay with us for our last segment with Amir Sarfati, coming up shortly.
Olive Tree Ministries is carrying a new product to help you contend for the faith and understand the times. It is Terry James' new book, Deceivers, Exposing Evil Seducers and Their Last Days Deception. Our generation is characterized by deceiving tactics in the church, the media, the schoolroom, the government, the globalist agenda, and much, much more. I have contributed a chapter in the book talking about the deception that has invaded the church in the last 30 years. Find the book in our web store at olivetreeviews.org. The hardbound 320-page reference book is $19 plus shipping. You can call us to order at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. It is also featured in our print and e-newsletter. Sign up online. Don't let the deceivers fool you or those you care about. Many are falling for these deceptions and delusions of our day. Stay in tune and up to date. Order Deceivers today.
What is a watchman? Is someone who is not engaged in the war itself, but is someone who can see the coming war. It's not a watchman is not a soldier that at the moment is fighting. We do have the good fight that we fight. It's a good fight that we fight. But I believe that God is going to spare us from the wrath that is about to come upon the world. And so I do believe with all of my heart that at the moment we're called to be watchmen, which means we are called to see the coming storm while it's still calm and warn people against it.
And now for the wrap-up of today's discussion with Amir Sarfati, once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. And before we wrap up today's programming, let me just remind you this program is always posted to my website Saturday morning, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. If you'd like to just tap into the app, the mobile app, oneplace.com, we're airing there as well. You can sign up for the mobile app and have it downloaded every Saturday morning. And again, if you'd like a CD of this program or any program, or become a CD subscriber, you can just hand a CD to somebody that doesn't have access to some of this information. I'll tell you where you can get access to it, That's beholdisrael.org, and also by signing up for Amir Sarfati's updates that he does online a couple times a week for sure. As the program is winding down, let me just kind of follow through with what I teased in my last segment. And that, remember, we've got a conference coming up here September the 29th, and that's one of the reasons I have Amir on with me, but more than that, because he's got very vital information. And I wanted to end the program today sort of encouraging the brethren, and that's what it tells us to do in Hebrews 10. And there's a relative calm and prosperity going on, frankly, in the world, and we think it's setting the stage for something to come, which may not be calm. It could be instability, could be some wars that are on the horizon, and the fact that the time is likely short, the hour is late. And I wanted Amir to talk just a little bit about our call as being watchmen on the wall and the responsibility to be watchmen on the wall. Remember, it says in Ezekiel 33:6, if we see something coming, whatever, trouble coming, it's kind of, if we don't sound the warning, the blood is on our hands. So, Amir, talk to us just a little bit about the importance. You know, I think almost every listener to this program, honestly, is a watchman. I think everyone following you, Amir Sarfati, is a watchman. That's a huge responsibility.
It is. It is. And what is a watchman? Is someone who is not engaged in the war itself, but is someone who can see the coming war. It's not, a watchman is not a soldier that at the moment is fighting. We do have the good fight that we fight. It's a good fight that we fight. But I believe that God is going to spare us from the wrath that is about to come upon the world. And so I do believe with all of my heart that at the moment we're called to be watchmen, which means we are called to see the coming storm while it's still calm and warn people against it. Now, when will you do that unless you, during the calm before the storm? When the storm comes, as I always like to say, you know, when we talked about as in the days of Noah, I mean, that flood is going to come. That's too late. Unless you built your ark and unless you pitched it with, you know, the word pitch in the Hebrew means kofir, which is from the same word Kippur, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, atonement. I believe also that could be a great interpretation to work our salvation, is to be about our Father's business, to be busy doing the right things in the middle of a world that is doing the wrong thing. It's not easy. We basically go against the flow here. But we are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We are to preach the gospel. We are to warn the people with love, of course. And we are at the same time to give them the good news. And the good news is that there is a way. There is a life, and there is truth, and it's absolute. There is no other way, no other truth, no other life but Jesus himself. Even, by the way, to Israel, when we think about it, there's so much attack on them even, because there's so many people that will sell them different ways. And we are, I believe, to like no other time before, we are there for such a time as this, and we are for a reason and for a season right now in this world. I believe that God does not want any to perish. That's why he slacks, as some count as slackness. But he's not late, you know. He's not late. He's going to do what he needs to do. And we know that time has come and God has set a date to judge the world, and it's that's it. And from the moment Jesus came to the world, excuses are no longer there. He's calling all people everywhere to repent. That's it. God overlooked all of those, you know, pagan worship before. Now he has, you know, he's calling all people everywhere to repent. These are key things that we need to remember.
Yes.
And we are the people to whom God has given that amazing task, I believe. Unfortunately, even in churches today, they don't even teach anymore the story of creation. They don't teach the book of Genesis. And by doing such thing, they are removing the moral basis for even asking people to repent. The whole message of repentance is no longer valid if Genesis is out of the picture. So that's the time for us to bring back the importance of being Berean and read the scriptures and not take out of it anything. And remove out of it anything. This is the time for us to hold on to the truth of God and to stay together. One of the saddest things is that we are often being seen as people who actually like to fight each other,
yeah,
one another.
Well, that does go on now and then. Other thing I hear from people about, and I know you do too, sometimes so fast and furiously do I hear about this, I can't keep up with it. It's heartbreaking, actually. I mean, many people love the fact that our blessed hope, we believe, is on the horizon. They would love to talk about that with friends, with coworkers, with people in their church, and they're shut down because the fact that the king is coming is not good news to a lot of people. As a matter of fact, it's on the boring side to a lot of people, or it's just irrelevant to them. It's not anything they've been taught. Yeah, very sad, because they're robbed of the blessed hope. And I think you and I need to encourage those who are listening now as well, who do appreciate and love the message that the king is coming. They're not alone. You may not have hundreds of thousands of emails, but you have hundreds of thousands of people who follow all of your messages, etc.
Yeah, I agree with you. They're not alone. God is out there seeing their heart. And, you know, they have to remember that he left few thousands that did not bow down to the Baal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying, definitely we have to remember that God is not done with them, and he has a great, great plan.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great plan.
I'd like you to address one final issue, I think. And by the way, thank you for encouraging the flock. I really appreciate it. I hear from, both the encouraged and the discouraged.
I need to say thank you. Jan, everywhere I go around the world, people are telling me that they would have never, ever heard about me if it wasn't for people like you and your radio program.
Well,
so I thank you for being a voice calling in the wilderness. And I know how it feels to be in the wilderness. I live in a country that is very, very, very not open to the gospel.
Right.
And very religious when it comes to Jesus. But, I mean, I can see what it takes for you not only to be Jewish, but also to be in America in these last days. I can see how much, and also to be a woman, you know, that to be attacked from so many different directions.
Oh, yes, it's fun.
And I want to thank you for holding the flag and keeping the fort still standing. And I'm telling you, anyone who is truly called to be there for the remnant in the end should be partnered with you. Because this is a ministry that you know, it's catering to the millions of the unchurched people, or those who cannot find
places the church
that teach the Bible. It's not only Bible, prophecy. Prophecy
is 30%
of the Bible. People don't get to have the Bible taught. I mean, they're being given lies and deception and fairy tales. If Beyonce is having her own, you know, service in a church in America today, and through that, you know, you have agendas of LGBTs and races and all that being promoted, then you see that it's not even Bible prophecy, it's the Bible, period, that is no longer being preached.
And I'd like you, if you could, Amir, been talking to Amir Sarfati for the hour, beholdisrael.org. He'll be with me this fall, Saturday, September 29th. I think we've got a Middle East plan that's going to be unveiled in the next week, possibly designed by the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. We don't know the details. Can you just give me some thoughts on what you think could be coming down the road? Because this is important for my listeners to even know how to pray, because we don't want Jerusalem divided, etc.
Yes. I'm going to say something, and I hope people will take it the right way, but Donald Trump, as a president, already knows that the prospect of bringing peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians in the shape and form that the world community is trying to do that has failed, is doomed to fail. I don't even believe he really believes there will be a peace between us and the Palestinians, because he learned in the short time he's in the Oval Office that the very, very few people there that wants to live next to us, most of them wants to live instead of us. But I think that he found a way to at least take off the mask from their faces.
Mm-hmm.
And the way is this. Why don't we open the door for an Arab peace with Israel first? Let us have normalization with Saudi Arabia and Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates. Let's see how it goes there. And let's start with, you know, it's not going to be the old city of Jerusalem. It's not going to be what you think is going to be. Let's start with a neighborhood that has already been, you know, being targeted years ago as a possible place for the parliament of the Palestinians to be, a place called Abu Dis, which is, by the way, within the West Bank. There's a wall between Abu Dis and Jerusalem. And the Palestinians will decline it instantly. He's also planning on proposing only 50% of the West Bank, where they said no to 95. He's also proposing not to uproot a single Israeli settler from the West Bank.
Praise the Lord.
All of those components are telling you that he knows that there is never going to be on the other side someone who will say yes to it, but at least it's time to move forward with the other tracks and the tracks of Israel and the other countries. And let's face it, the Saudis already told the Palestinians that you better accept Trump's peace plan or else we're no longer going to support you. They already said that. The Bahraini king already said this is the chance of the might be the last chance of the Palestinians to get something. And as Abba Ibn, our foreign minister, said, the Palestinians have never missed an opportunity to miss an opportunity.
That's right.
This is going to be one more thing. And bear in mind, every time they were offered something and they said no to it, the next thing they were offered less. And the presence of President Trump in the White House is a very bad news to the Palestinians. Very bad news. And I know that there's going to be all of those, oh, Trump is dividing Jerusalem, and oh, Trump is this, and I'm telling you, we could have never, ever asked for a better president in the White House than what we have now. He's actually way better than we could have asked for. So I'm not even going to be too nervous about this peace plan because I know exactly what the other side is going to say.
Amir, I am totally out of time. I so appreciate your perspective on this, and I pray that's a comfort to a lot of people who are quite nervous about what could be forthcoming as it concerns dividing Israel or Jerusalem. Folks, come on out September 29th and meet Amir Sarfati and my other speakers. Still get a ticket, or else you can certainly live stream the program on your computer and get a group together to do that. So I'm going to have you on at least one more time before my conference, Amir. May God bless you as you carry forth with the good news, encouraging the flock. We will stay in touch.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless.
Okay. Shalom. Goodbye now.
Shalom.
So I want to thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it cost us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.